They ask him how he got there, where his parents are, what he was doing in the woods. But it's like he's gone deaf. He just stares at them, blinking, giving no indication he's heard them.
"Should have left him where he was," says Chris.
"What? I couldn't just leave him out there," says Jess.
"What if he was playing?"
"He wasn't out playing. He was left there," she says.
"Well, that's just great," says Chris. "You've stolen a child."
"I didn't steal him."
She's done the responsible thing. She's already called her friend Brianne, a social worker. She hasn't stolen a child. But Chris is walking out of the room, hands thrown dramatically in the air.
"I don't have time for this," he said. "I've got an overnight in an hour. You figure this one out."
Brianne agrees with Jess. The child needs a place to sleep, at least for tonight.
"So he should stay with us?"
Jess asks. She tries not to sound too eager, but she can't help herself.
"At least for now."
Brianne hesitates.
"Honestly, I've got kids sleeping on the office floor. If you can watch him, more power to you."
"And then what?"
"Well, we'll keep searching for him in the system. There aren't any open cases of children from this area that match that description, but I've only done a cursory check so far."
"And then if you find him, you'll give him back to his parents?"
"Well," Brianne gives Jess a long look. "Yes."
"But why?"
"Because he's someone's son," says Brianne. "There's procedures for things like this. Ideally, we'll be able to locate his family in short order."
"But they did this to him."
"We don't know how that happened," says Brianne. "It might not be their fault."
"Then where were they?" asks Jess. "Where are they now?"
"We really can't say."
"I'm telling you."
Jess's voice hitches, and she regrets it. How hysterical she sounds. But she needs Brianne to understand she isn't lying, isn't playing up the severity.
"That circle, the burns, I know what I saw. This wasn't an accident. The people, whoever he was with, they did that to him, on purpose."
Brianne is quiet for a moment. At last, she says, "I know you and Chris have been through a lot."
"It's not about that."
"I just need you to remember that we don't always know what's best for a child," says Brianne. "But more often than you realize, and despite all the mistakes they might make, the parents often know better."
Jess perches at the edge of the couch, watching the child sleep. When she first brought him back, his heartbeat was terribly fast, a classic symptom of dehydration. She's gotten some fluids in him since then, and he's breathing more easily now. With his bruises and burns all patched up, he could be anyone's child, having a nap after playing outside. He looks so normal, except for that mask. He won't take it off. She and Brianne have both tried, but he whimpered whenever they touched it. It fits so tightly against his face that she wonders a moment if it's locked on somehow. But then she finds a clip in the straps, right at the back of his neck, the release button. If she presses down, the mask will fall off. Her hand hovers above his face. Suppose it's wrong. Suppose it hurts him. But she has to know. She can always clip it back on. Click. The child's eyes fly open. Both hands fly to his face, and he makes a horrible choking noise as he presses the mask against his mouth.
"It's okay," Jess says quickly. "It's okay. You're okay."
Panic overwhelms her. What has she done? Suppose he needs this mask to breathe. Suppose she's just killed him. But what disease could he possibly have? What child has ever walked around in a mask like this? But then the child's eyes lock on hers, and a strange expression comes over his face.
"No mask," he says.
"What?"
Jess touches her mouth.
"Me? No."
"Good air."
"Yes,"
she says cautiously.
"The air."